It's a pleasure once again to be joined by CBS4's Justin Adams, a regular contributor to our program. And there's a little bit of news today. And my first question to you is whether it surprised you, since earlier in the week the Broncos seemed to be slow walking this, and it certainly didn't appear obvious that they'd have a head coach named by Thursday. Did it surprise you that a slow process all of a sudden became a very rapid hire of Nathaniel Hackett, who was the only Bronco candidate by the end of the day to get two interviews? No second interview for Dan Quinn. No second interview for Kevin O'Connell of the Rams. Did the timing surprise you? And then we'll get into some particulars about the man himself.
You know, I think the timing did surprise me. And the only reason why is because I thought it would be earlier this week. I mean, any time that you spend 8 hours with somebody on your second interview, at that moment I was thinking, okay, well, they are going to hire him either on Monday or you're going to hear something on Tuesday. But I didn't think I would hear something on Thursday. And then you have some news that comes out that, you know, Hackett was going to go down to Jacksonville and have an interview with them. And then right from there, it's like, no, we're not even going to let you go on an interview. We're going to hire you right now, work throughout the clock, and go and announce this hiring on Thursday morning. So that was a little surprising to me. It just seemed like George Payton, again, from the outside looking in, nowhere near the room, but it looked like that he was impressed by him, knew that he was the guy, and as soon as Hackett was going to go somewhere else to interview, he said, no, we can't let you out the door, and that's where he picked him up and hired him.
In your opinion, did Dan Quinn cool on the Broncos, or did the Broncos lose their enthusiasm for Dan Quinn?
I think that's a great question, because I was going to say I think Dan Quinn cooled on the Broncos. Actually, I'll stick with that. I think Dan Quinn really cooled on the Broncos, and this is why. Because there was a report out there that if he was offered the position, he would have took it with the Broncos. But then from there, once he didn't get it from that, he interviewed at other places and was like, okay, well, I'm going back to Dallas. And I think when he goes back to Dallas, there's an opportunity there. Obviously, we know what's going on with Mike McCarthy, and, you know, from a national media perspective, there's not a lot of people who like Mike McCarthy and the work that he and the job that he did this year. So there might be an outside chance that Dan Quinn could somewhere down the line be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So rather than going elsewhere to another franchise, he decided to stay with Dallas because he wasn't offered a job with the Broncos.
This man started coaching Nathaniel Hackett at the age of 23 at his alma mater, UC Davis, all the way back in 2002. He was at Stanford for 3 years after that. Then he came to the NFL with Tampa Bay in 06-07 under John Gruden. He coached in Buffalo the first time from 08 through 09, then went to Syracuse and revived that program, at least the offense. That Syracuse presented was a lot different and apparently much better while he was on hand at Syracuse. Then he comes back to the NFL with Buffalo again in 13-14 under head coach Doug Marrone. They go 6-10 the first year, but 9-7 in the second year with a man we knew well here in Denver, Kyle Orton at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. They had a winning season. And then perhaps more impressively, he goes to Jacksonville. And in 17, as the offensive coordinator, he gets the Jaguars offensively to a place where they're in the AFC Championship game and 10 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl with a fourth quarter lead in Foxborough on a team quarterback by Blake Bortles.
Yeah, but I'll take it a step further. Even with that job that he did in 2017, that's the most points that Jacksonville has scored in their franchise history. That's the type of work that he did. If you remember in that AFC Championship game, in the first half, Bill Belichick had no idea what to do. You can make the argument that even in the first half, if it wasn't for pretty much a phantom pass interference call at the end of the first half, Tom Brady throwing up a ball, and then here comes a flag out of nowhere, that Jacksonville could have won the game there. They could have won the game if they would have stopped the third in like 17 or 18, and they could have been going to the Super Bowl. So, you know, he has done a lot of great works with different franchises, different quarterbacks, different situations, and that's something that has to happen here in Denver. The one thing, though, that you said that I think is very interesting is when you look at the current quarterback structure with the Broncos right now, what's the one guy that you have under contract, which is Drew Lock. But Drew Lock is going into his final year of his deal, so he doesn't have the benefit of that second season to be along with Nathaniel Hackett, unless if he does sign a contract extension. So we'll see what will happen from there. Obviously, we know all the talk with Aaron Rodgers, but as of right now, the one guy that you do have signed on with the team is Drew Lock.
You don't really think Drew Lock has any chance to be the starting quarterback in 2022, do you?
No. I mean, an asteroid could hit, a couple of things could happen, a couple of earthquakes could happen around Colorado, and I still don't think that Drew Lock will be the starting quarterback, right? But again, it is when you look at who are the guys who are under contract. Drew Lock is one of the guys that is currently, at this second as we talk, under contract with the Broncos.
Would you have preferred, and we'll get back to Hackett again in just a second, would you have preferred that the Broncos interview Kevin O'Connell, for example, or someone they apparently never considered, Brian Daboll?
Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see the Broncos be able to do that. I would have loved to be able to see them take a little bit more time in this process. But again, for George Payton, for what we have known from him, what he has found his man, whether it's in a draft, whether it's within making a trade, right, for Kenny Young or different guys like that in season, when he has found his guy, he's going to pounce on that decision and go from there, right? And so if he has found his guy, and obviously he has with Nathaniel Hackett, then go and pounce on it. Rather than going and interviewing a couple other individuals, go and get your guy. If you believe that he is, as you say, an individual who has a strong vision for all three phases of your team, offense, defense, and special teams, if you truly believe in that, then go after that guy and then stick with him as well. No matter what happens in the first season, the second season, you need to stick with your head coach and help him with that vision.
Is it to Peyton's credit that at the end of the day, he selected someone with whom he has had no prior relationship professionally or personally?
Well, I think he had some sort of a relationship with him. And it's not in when you say, okay, have they sat down and talked, but he has been able to see his work because he was with Minnesota. Right. So you've been able to see the work that Nathaniel Hackett has done, because with the Vikings, you went up against, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the rest of the crew at least two times a year. So he's been able to see, you know, what does this guy do? And obviously everybody talks within the NFL. It's a really small circle. So I will give George Payton credit for sure in that area. But again, it's his responsibility to be able to, whether you have a prior relationship with somebody or not, to make sure that you have the right head coach for your team and what the team that you're trying to build to be able to be competitive in the AFC West.
So the point is that regardless of who you hire, you have to be open-minded and prepare to be impressed, even if you haven't worked with someone before. You're familiar, as you say, with the work that he's done, at least in his first 2 years with Green Bay in 19 and 20. Of course, they're in the championship game both of those years. But it was, I think, refreshing to see him perhaps at a point where Quinn was number one, but move away from that. The more he talked to Hackett, the more impressive he was. You talked about the vision idea. Obviously, Nathaniel Hackett has no track record as a head coach, but as an offensive visionary, I suppose there's evidence out there, even though he has never technically developed a quarterback, he has made the most, apart from Aaron Rodgers, obviously, of some mediocre talents, as we all know. Is that offensive vision and a dynamic, if quirky, leadership style provide just the antidote for the Broncos, who have, for the last 3 years, been led by an older coach who has a very conventional, to the extent that it was visible, leadership style?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest things that George Payton talked about in his release. And I actually wrote down these words, outstanding teacher, communicator, right? He has innovation. He has this huge intelligence, right? Like, all those different things is exactly what he needs to bring to the team as well. And also, just to be able to go, and no matter what type of player he's dealing with, especially in the offensive room, to be able to go and develop the quarterback, to be able to develop a system that is going to work with the strengths of the quarterback that they have. Like, that's extremely important to have that, especially when you look at the draft this season and you say, there's not really that number one guy out there, right? You could talk about Kenny Pickett. You could talk about Matt Corral and several other individuals as well, right? Malik Willis, too. But you have to be able to develop that talent, because at the end of the day, at this moment, you're still in a division where Patrick Mahomes is there, Justin Herbert is there, Derek Carr is right there. So you have to be able to develop your quarterback. And to be very honest, it's not like how it was in the old days. I mean, old days, like 10 years ago, where you could have two to 3 years to really develop your quarterback.
You're exactly right.
You've
got
to be able to microwave that thing and develop your quarterback quickly. Or let's be honest and call it what it is. Nathaniel Hackett, with all his energy, with all his charisma, will be looking for a job.
Well, you anticipated my final question before we let you run. With or without Aaron Rodgers, the Broncos are going to need 2, maybe 3 years from now to have a quarterback of the future. And if they don't, if he hasn't been able to develop one, or they haven't drafted one who is capable of being developed, then he's going to face the same fate as Vance Joseph did after 2 years and Vic Fangio did after 3 years, right?
Yeah, he will. I mean, there's no other way to look at it, too. And you know what? This division is going to punish you. Like, there's other divisions. You can look at, for example, the NFC North, right? Exactly where you just came from. And you could say, well, we don't have that top-flight quarterback, but we'll be okay because, well, Aaron Rodgers, he's getting older, probably might come over to Denver. We'll see what happens from there. But then you look at the rest of the quarterbacks in that division, and you're like, who's really out there? Justin Fields, who's going into a second year, now we'll go into with another different offensive coordinator. You know, Detroit, they have questions at their quarterback as well. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, we know how, you know, mediocre to average of a quarterback he is over there. So you know that in that area, it doesn't take too much to be able to have the best quarterback in that division. In the AFC West, it's going to take some work. Either you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Russell Wilson, or you better be able to go and develop somebody who could be able to compete with them very quickly. You better figure out something on offense, whether you have to go and say we have to rely now on our running game more to be able to take out some more off the clock, some more time off the clock, so that we'll be able to compete with, you know, Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead Stadium. So you have to figure something out. But there's one thing that I do want to say, Sandy, when I look at the Broncos offense overall, and I think it's very important that our listeners understand this. In 2013, we all know about Peyton Manning and how amazing that offense was. Sandy, that year, the Broncos scored 606 points. Get this. Ever since then, the Broncos haven't scored more than 350 points. The most they've scored was 355, and I'm talking about 2015, 355 points. That's when they won Super Bowl 50. But when you look at what they did this year, the Broncos scored 335 points. That's the most they have scored since then, right? Since 2015.
And it took them 17 games to get to 335.
And you cannot do that anymore. You have to be able to score points. The Broncos, let's call it what it is, have to be either at 390, 400 if you're going to have a
no
shot
doubt.
In this division. You've
no
got to figure
doubt.
Out a way how to score points.
No doubt. And you know, he's coming into a division, whether Rodgers joins him or not, he's coming into a division, and he knows for as long as he's here, most likely, Patrick Mahomes will be here, and Justin Herbert will be here, and at least for part of the time, Derek Carr, a very capable quarterback, a little bit older and maybe not as talented, but a very capable quarterback will also be here. Justin, you're the best. Thanks. We appreciate
it. Sandy, I appreciate it as always, my friend. Have a wonderful week.
There he goes, Justin Adams from CBS 4, joining us here on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.